16, PoundNet Public Interest Review.
Sir.
We have two of these, right? Mr. Bender.
I have two of them today. Let me load this up real quick. A reminder to the commission, public comment commission review is the guidance for this is under Chapter 25, Section 30. There's six criteria that we look at in reviewing a PoundNet siting, other and reasonable uses of state waters, marine fishery resources, tidal wetlands, impacts adjacent and nearby properties, water quality, and also submerged aquatic vegetation. So these are the six criteria that we use both with staff and for the general thing for any fixed fishing device. And for the PoundNets, of course, we also have public review where they go through a 30-day public hearing process for advertising. So we have two today. We have one for Mr. Bender, has two applications along the Eastern Shore, and one for Mr. Burton in Maddox Creek of Potomac. We'll start with Mr. Bender. Edward Bender has applied to commission a license and locate two PoundNets in the Chesapeake Bay. The first proposed PoundNet, EP0083, which is located on the advertisement here, is approximately 2,700 feet southwest of Pelican Pub at Sunset Beach. The length of this proposed net is approximately 1,200 feet. The second PoundNet that he has applied for is EP0085, which is indicated here on the lower part of the chart. This will be located about 2,800 feet south-southwest of Pelican Pub. Its approximate distance and length is 1,120 feet. You'll note that on the graph on the screen that we have two locations for EP0083. During the process of getting to go to advertisement and all, engineering department notified the fisheries division that the proposed location, the original proposed location for 83, needed to be adjusted southward about 425 feet to this new position indicated here in the darker red line. This puts it more in line with existing PoundNets that have already been approved, and it's kind of consistent, as you'll note, with any other PoundNets along this area. They usually are typically in line. It's a little closer look to the PoundNet to the south, EP0085, and the different PoundNets that are located around it in green. We have received two public comments involving both of these nets of Mr. Bender's. One was from a Mr. Paige Johnson, who's the managing member of Sunset Beach LLC. That is in attachment 5 of your documentation, your evaluation. He was concerned about the placement of both of these PoundNets in such close proximity to Sunset Beach. He explained it's not unusual for Sunset Grill to have 60 or more boaters anchored near their facility, and that the nets would be a hazard for boaters and a detriment to his business. He also had a protest from Mr. Kenny Heat, which was attachment 6 and 7 in your evaluation packet. Mr. Heath is a commercial harvester. He also has PoundNet sites nearby, and he contends that Mr. Bender's proposed PoundNet sites will encroach upon his PoundNet sites EP0014 and EP0051. Let me go back to the map and note that just briefly again. So you'll note here's Mr. Bender's proposal for 85. Here's Mr. Bender's proposal for 83, and this is the adjusted position that engineering has provided. Mr. Heath has PoundNet locations to the eastward of actually both locations, and for EP0085 has PoundNets on both the east and western sides of that location. Just in comment to the Sunset Grill comments, these vessels that are already coming into Sunset Grill are already coming in between PoundNets as it is now. This is the corridor they would come down. The actual adjustment of EP0083, which gets it more in line with the existing PoundNets, should take that issue out, where they're already coming down the same corridor anyway. So we looked through the six criteria I mentioned initially, and from submerged aquatic vegetation, water quality, Marine Fishery Resources of Commonwealth. We found no conflict, nor do we find a conflict with reasonable permissible uses of state waters. There are already existing pound nets in this location, three deep in this location. The only real issue that came up was the adjacent nearby property owner from Sunset Grill. And the thing there is, with the adjusted location of EP0083, it should mitigate that completely, where it's not sticking out more in that corridor. It's back in line with the other pound nets. Staff is recommending the approval of these pound net sites as presented today by Mr. Bender. That's it. You want to take public comment on this one first?
Thank you. Mr. Bender?
I don't really have anything to say.
Come up. Okay, you want to just rebut what you hear?
Yeah, I'll wait
okay.
to see what they have to say and then
okay.
let things move on.
Who wishes to speak to this item? Mr. Heath? You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Your name for the record.
My name is Kenneth Heath. I'm a pound net on the Eastern Shore, and I have the adjacent traps in this location. I have no problem with the pound net being put in there. That's not my beef. My pound net that's inshore of, yeah, if you would bring up EP0022, the number I had, I may have.
On the other one.
Oh, no, EP014, yeah.
Yeah, there's 14. It's right there.
EP0014, at the time that the surveys were conducted last summer in July or August by the survey department, that trap did not have a complete set of poles in it. It only had five poles in that trap. And when Mr. Rogers went out and surveyed the location, he did not contact me, and he went by what old poles were there. The pound net had not been driven yet. It had not been established. And the trap is longer because, as you can see, the trap to the south of it, 0051, and the one to the north, 0020, they're out further than that trap. This trap, the way Paul measured it, it's got it set way back. It's only 600 feet long. I mean, and that is not right with, and it's not consistent with what you see of the pine nets that are there now. So that's my beef is that. And the trap now has been driven and is in fishing. And I asked the survey department if they had been out and relocated the trap. I said, because that's not right. And I said this back in winter before this application had been submitted. And they all told me, they all talked about it. They said that I had to come before the commission. So here I am before the commission. And for EP0019, the license for that trap calls for it to be 1,200 feet long. During the hurricane Irene in September, I lost a lot of net. All my deep water traps got wiped out and a lot of pilings. I drove a lot of pilings that spring to get them back fishing. I did not drive them all. That trap is missing three pilings on the end, which is 75 feet. And all I'm asking is that I get that 75 feet on the end of EP0019 and I have no problem.
Which end of 19?
The inshore end. The eastward end.
Of course, if you do that, then there's not enough room for 85 to go in there, correct?
No, there's enough room. I don't know what the exact distance is. And I went out this morning with my trying to get my GPS. I couldn't get it. I got it come on. I couldn't get it to give me my numbers, my east and north and my longitude and latitude, because I was going to get the number of my existing trap now, EP0014, so I could come over here and present the numbers to the survey department, see if they could tell me where my location of the trap is. But that trap was located by Paul at his discretion and not by consulting me of where it would be because it was not driven. There's only five poles there, and that's a far cry from a full set of poles.
He didn't contact you before he did the surveying?
Nope, not on that trap. All the other traps were driven in, with the exception of some that are forfeited and some that weren't. Most of them were already driven because most of them are in.
They didn't contact you about what the length of what was your license length of those nets? Is that on your license?
On that particular net, it had been transferred to me or I bought it from my cousin. It was transferred to me, and it was no length on the light on the application. The length was oversight my part and law enforcement part.
And Hank, can you speak to this issue? It's been a while since I've dealt with these pound net issues, but I know we're surveying them very precisely now.
We are now, and unfortunately, Paul's on vacation this week, so all I've got is his notes on the process of what happened. On 0019, Paul says that he located it on July 31st, 2012, and was actively being fished at that time, which means he had a net in it. As you can tell, we've got so many nets out there at one time. If they're actively being fished, and we know which ones they are, we can locate them. It's not like we need to call somebody. If we did that, it's taken us 2 years to get to where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
If we had to wait for everybody to, you know, it would just prolong even more. But anyway, he's saying it was actively being fished for a net, and we located it in July.
Is the green line of 19, as it's depicted there, the current location, or is that?
The currently surveyed location.
And is there room to put the bender net in there? What are the red circles?
Yeah, this is a new tool that IT has put together for us. I believe the red circles are the one problem. They don't reflect the 125 feet on either side. I think they're a much larger distance. We're trying to get them to shrink it down. So the red circles probably should just be ignored in this situation.
But there is
room for a net in between of a shorter distance. I mean, not all nets have to be 1,200 feet.
Right. But there is a lawful distance between nets when they're in the same line like that.
125 feet.
200
feet,
125
on either side.
900. 900 between north and south is 900. East to west is 200.
900.
Okay.
Between them.
Yeah.
200.
200. And on EP0019, two of the pilings that broke down happened to have ropes crossed, and they are still tied to the end of the trap hanging there.
The trap Mr. Bender is applying for here, in any case, there's still room for a trap there. It's just going to be, depending on what the commission decides to do, give Mr. Heath his entire length, even though it didn't appear that that's what was there. This vendor application would be whatever that distance is less. There's still room for it.
Okay. Mr. Plummer?
That's my question. Is Mr. Heath, are you saying with the trap you have that's closer to shore that it needs, that you're entitled to more length there?
Yes, that green line was put in when there was only five pilings there. The trap had never been driven yet, and I drove it later on that year, a week before Sandy came through, and Sandy wiped it out again, and I had to redrive it again this spring. But it's in smaller poles. But when Paul went there and surveyed all those traps, that trap had five poles in it, spread out along that green line, taking that the furthest offshore was at the end of the green line, and the furthest one inshore was at the green line. As you can see, it doesn't even go all the way to the beach because he just took the pole that was the closest inshore.
How many other poles?
50. It's 50 to 60 poles per fish trap, and there was only five in it.
But you say they were not five adjacent ones.
They were not adjacent. They were five scattered. And I mean, I don't even write. I can't recollect exactly if there were any offshore poles there at all that would represent the pound head. They could have been all ear poles that were there.
So what length of net are you requesting for 19 and 14?
For 19, I'm requesting what my license calls for is 1,200 feet. Which
okay.
would be only 75 more feet on the end of the leader.
On the inshore end.
Yes.
Okay.
And for 14, 1,150 feet is what I'm asking for that track to be. And that's, I think, is what it is now. That's what's driven and put in its end and actively fishing.
So, Hank, if we were to grant those two requests, how much room is left for the bender net?
I don't know. One of the problems that I see with doing it this way, though, if Paul goes out when it's a full fishing net with the net in place, he locates it. Following year comes around, and someone applies for something inshore or offshore, just like in this particular case, and then we come back here, we've already taken an application. In some cases, it's already been licensed. So if we start changing things, giving them an extra 100 feet here, an extra 100 feet there, it affects the entire process.
Right.
And there's a section of the
code. But my license reads 1,200 feet, and that trap, 0019, has been there for 8 or 10 years. I mean, that's not just been put there. That's an established trap that's been fished on a periodically basis every year.
I mean, I think he has the right to protect his license. I mean, I think that... And he's appeared here after receiving notice of this application to say it's encroaching upon his license.
And my understanding from Joe, my question to Joe Griff and others, but I can't quite get a straight answer, that if you apply for 1,200 feet and you only want to use 800 feet, that other 400 feet is yours when you need it at your discretion. But I can't get anybody to give me a straight answer. Paul's telling Simpson that has that 0051 that he don't have to use, he can apply for 1,200 feet, but he don't have to use it all, but it's bad for you when you need it. Now, that's a new one on me. I didn't know that was.
Under our new procedure, you have to, when you're proposing a net, you have to give the latitude and longitude of both ends of the net. That's what you're going to be licensed for.
These traps did not fall in that. They were previously licensed before you all had come up. I mean, I applaud what's going on. I think it's the best thing in the world to get everything documented, because me going down the beach with a 100-foot tape measure measuring off my traps where they locate is not very accurate. I mean, I'll admit, I'm no surveyor. But at the time when that one was located, I mean, you can look at that chart. You see how far back in that track 14 is set, 014 is set back. It's set back way inside of the rest of them. So that it wasn't driven. Okay. It wasn't established. That's my...
Are there others who wish to speak to this today? All right. Mr. Heath, if you'll have a seat, then we'll hear from Mr. Bender, and we'll come back and see what...
Can I say something about the other location?
Yep. Yes.
The trap that's in the middle is a forfeited location of mine, 0086, I guess. Is it 0086?
83.
Yeah, 0086. I have a forfeited location there that's 1,200 feet long.
Okay.
In two other instances, I've had forfeited locations that were granted license to other people, and when they drove it, I looked, and there it was impinging on my forfeited location, and it was too late. I didn't say nothing, let it go. So I don't want it to happen here again on this time. So that location is 1,200 feet, and it's a forfeited location, which does not have to be driven.
That's right.
Because it's forfeit. You're allowed to forfeit three traps, and that's one of my forfeited ones.
Okay.
So that's a currently not existing trap.
He owns the site, but there's no net there. Yes. And he's entitled to take that back up when he chooses, I guess. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Heath. Mr. Bender, you want to?
Does the Sunset Beach people want to say
anything? I asked for other comments.
My name's Mark Bender. I'm a pine netter on the Eastern Shore.
Did we swear you in?
No.
You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
So help me God. As far as the Pelican Pub thing, as you can see, there's anybody that can navigate out of Cape Charles Harbor or Little Creek or Lynn Haven or anywhere should be capable of going in that wide area there, so I don't see where that's a problem. As far as Mr. Heath, when I applied for these stands, I got three licenses, and I went up to Paul's to survey, and we looked on the chart, and we talked about different things, different locations, and some were yay, some were nay. So we come up with this. We'll start with the one with the north, the one that's offshore of Kenny's turn-in for trout location. I told Paul that, as you can see, we were slightly above it because I told Paul to put my location in between my daddy's trap and the Heath trap to the south. And then they come back to me and ask me if I had a problem with putting all three traps in a row. I said, no. I said, I don't know. At first, when I applied, Paul said he didn't really know that Kenneth's turn-in trap was there. So it was a big discussion. You know, what are we going to do? Whatever. I said, well, if Kenneth's trap comes within 200 feet of his inshore trap, he has a legal right to come off 1,200 feet, put me 200 feet offshore of him, and run me out at 1,200 feet. The reason I said take me out at 1,200 feet is that the way it's been, if you want to shorten your trap, and my understanding is once you establish it, then that's where you are. You can't. I don't believe that you hold the whole 1,200 feet. Once you establish your trap there, once you drive your poles there, that's when survey comes, they get the inshore location, they get the offshore location, and that's you. The reason I asked for 1,200 feet is it's easier to shorten it than to come back before the commission and ask to lengthen it. I've already been advertising traps twice this year. So whenever I apply now, I apply for the whole shooting match and whatever. So I asked Paul to put me in a legal distance from everybody there, and that's the location they come up with.
Which one are you talking? Are you talking about 83 or 85?
This trap here. Okay. Was turn in. This trap here was where I originally applied for, but they wanted to put it all on a rub. So
you don't have any objection.
Give him 200 feet here. Run this out 1,200 feet. Give me 200 feet, and then run this out 1,200 feet. That way, I'm legal distance from everybody north, south, east, west.
As far as the other trap goes, I used to fish both of those traps. The one just inside of the bottom red line. Used to be Al Heath's trap. I used to fish it. The poles were there where I fished it. Now, I don't know whether Mr. Heath reapplied and re-advertised. I've never advertised for him to move that trap. That trap is there. That green line is where I fished it at.
Which green line are you referring to?
This trap here that Mr. Heath bought from Al, his cousin. I was the last man to fish that trap before Kenneth acquired.
I've never seen any notification for him to move that trap offshore. I've never seen any advertisement. I mean, I think he's took it upon himself to move it off a little bit, and I don't really care. But when I applied for that trap there, I did the same thing. I said, move me in 200 feet from Mr. Heath's leader offshore and run me in 1,200 feet or whatever allowable length there is for me to be 200 feet offshore of the inshore trap, 200 feet inshore of the offshore trap. Plenty of room on both sides. And that's what survey and come up with. As far as Mr. Heath losing poles on the offshore end or the inshore end of his deep water trap, that's possible, but I don't know. I'm up and down that shore a lot.
Is it possible for you to get together with Mr. Heath and figure out where 85? I know it's like asking the Hatfields and the boys to.
He wishes death on me every time he sees me, so. Yeah. It ain't getting with us.
Right. Anything else?
No, he's talking about I'm encroaching on him. You know, he come down there and drove on Fisherman's Island right 900 feet on both sides of me. So, you know.
All right. Thank you.
I have one question. If you know the answer, is there room for, I guess, 1,150 feet for 14, then 200, then your proposed, then 200, and then his 19? Is there, would that shorten your proposed 85, application 85, below 1,200, and how much would it be if it does?
I don't think this trap to the bottom is actually 1,200 feet anyway. I think it's 1,100 and something.
Actually, the advertisement on 85 was 1,150 feet. It's already not even at the 1,200 average that most people would advertise for. And there is room there to shorten the trap in there if we depend on what the adjustments of the commission would
be. Do you have any objection to us reducing it?
Well, I tell you, the only objection I would have would be if you reduce it from the offshore end in, there's a sandbar that runs right here. The only feasible deep water is when in the first 150 feet of the trap. I have no, if he wants to move off this way, I have no problem cutting this off because this inside part, two-thirds or half of that trap is shoal water anyway.
But I wouldn't want to lose the offshore end of it because that's the only water there.
Right. Sounds like we're getting somewhere.
I mean, if you know, if he wanted to move off to some a reasonable amount from the inshore trap, I ain't got no problem with
that. Right. Thank you. Appreciate it. That is before the commission.
There it is.
Hank.
Sorry.
No. We appreciate your earlier comments. We're going to try to figure something out here.
I just want to point out a pretty good thing on our Paul's mouth that he's got here, and I wish he was here, but he's not speaking for him, which is never good. We're showing a red line that was almost identical in length, and that was done prior to last year.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you're referring to.
This one looks like it's been the same length every time it's located.
Yeah, it's been located twice.
Like it is now.
Okay.
And the length inshore is no closer.
It's not quite 1,200.
The inshore corner on this is almost identical to when it was located, and Paul located it prior to 2012, so even the time before that.
So what are you saying there, Hank? I'm not following you.
I'm saying that the inshore corner here, when Paul located it in July,
yes, sir,
of 2012, Paul located it prior to 2012, but it doesn't have a date on here, so I don't know if it was 1, 2, or 5 years, but the inshore corner has not moved. It's the same spot within, it appears to be, 20 feet.
Okay.
And that's a north side of these cliffs.
The pylons are still hanging on the end of that leader. Y'all see law enforcement right there and have them check right now. I'll say right here. They're still there. And it was Hurricane Irene, not Sandy.
Let's start with 83, the adjusted proposed site for 83.
I haven't heard any objection to 83 outside of Sunset Grill, and they're not here. And it seems as though staff has said that the corridor established for navigation is not going to be affected greatly by this. Is that so? I would move to approve 83.
Sorry.
Is there any discussion on that motion? Any objection? So the new location, the adjusted location of 83,
the adjusted location
is approved. 85. Now you have the issue of Mr. Heath wanting net 14 to be extended further out.
Right.
And Mr. Bender has said he wouldn't object to shortening that end of his net. I guess the question is how far do you want Mr. Heath to come out? Mr. Heath, how far were you asking for on net 14?
14 is driven in the end. It speaks for itself where it's located right now. I mean, it was when Bender fished 14, it was 4 years ago when he fished 14. It was long to my cousin Alex.
Right.
4 years ago. That's how long it's been since he's fishing. He's telling me about his poles that are there. That was five.
So you're happy with 14?
Five poles more is what you needed.
Yeah, I'm happy with where 14 is now. Where it's located, no, not where it's all located on that.
Well, that's what we need to know. Come up to the podium. How much longer is 14 now compared to what it is there?
Guessing, I would say about 1,050 feet. Yes.
Longer?
I don't know. He's got it at 600 feet there.
Okay.
Everything around it is 900 or 1,000 feet.
You want 400 more feet on the end of that green line marked 14?
Yeah. That's what I'm
He wants what's staked. Now,
right. I want what's staked. Right.
That trap is in and fishing now, but it's further offshore than it's depicted on that chart.
So
because there was only five poles there when Paul...
I understand.
And the inshore end of 19 is established, right, Hank?
According to Hank, yes.
So if we allow Mr. Bender to have whatever we can...
Whatever's left.
Whatever's left, coming off of both of them by 200
feet. What's currently marked, he has to be 200 feet off of either side.
Correct.
Okay. And that would be what we would approve. Is that...
Seems logical to me.
Yep.
And that meets with Mr. Heath.
Can I ask a question? Then he got half an hour.
Ask.
Well, what y'all are telling me is that this green line that's here right now, as many times as BMRC goes up and down, this is not the true location of Kenny's trap right now?
Apparently not.
That line is only 600 feet?
We don't know.
600.
30, 40,
or
50,
or
80. Sure, yeah.
If you're going to round it up or down, you round it to 6, you wouldn't round it to 7.
And if that's 600, well, two-thirds of that line, that would probably put him out of here somewhere?
Yep.
Well, it looks like to me that when a survey went down there, I saw Mr. Heath drive his trap last fall. I mean, I was fishing the trap to the side post. I seen him drive. He moved off from where he originally was. I don't believe he asked to move off. He got an existing trap from Al Heath. I don't believe he went through the review process to move that trap off. But if he, I'm just going by what survey told me.
I understand. That's why I asked you if y'all could get together and come to an agreement. But apparently you're not able to, so the commission's going to do it for you.
Commissioner, and we believe that this one as plotted, now this is, we're doing some rough scaling over here on the run, is about 700 feet.
Okay.
As plotted.
Okay.
So if he's currently got it set at 1,000 to 1,050, then you're talking about 300 to 350 feet further this way.
Yeah, I'm asking for the way it stands now after since it's been driven. I mean, it was no poles there.
It's driven now and you're fishing it.
It's complete right now.
We will locate it if you're going to do a compromise so that Bender is 200 feet from the end of the current one, if that's what you're proposing.
Yeah, so the motion would be to approve Mr. Bender for application 85 to be 200 feet seaward of 14, Mr. Heath's 14.
Current location in the water.
In current location in the water, and 200 feet landward of Mr. Heath's 19, current location in the water. That's my motion.
Is there a second?
I second.
Second. Any discussion?
My discussion, just knowing both parties, I hate to have conflict. At the same time, Mr. Heath's been there, and he's been fishing this thing, and I can't imagine how, I'm not sure how Mr. Rogers, Paul, I know him well, too. He tries to do good work. I'm having a hard time understanding how he would have taken the five-hole trap and figured that was something to take a measurement off of. But, Paul, Hank, you may help me there, but I think that measurement was inaccurate, and we have to make some adjustment because of that inaccuracy.
Yep.
All I can say is Paul showed me that the Nets win when he surveyed. Not on 14. They're in.
Thank you.
Okay.
I think we're too emotional.
The adjustment is based on what's in the water now.
Right.
What we have done on the ones we've been trying to locate last year is once we establish where they are, which is the two on the teeth, that will be the permitted location. If it's not 1,200 feet. It's not 1,200 feet. It's whatever it is.
So ordered.
And
that's what their license for.
Their license
that's
for
right.
that only, and they have to ask for an extension.
That's right. That's correct.
All right, now, if we approve this, then I would gather if Mr. Bender goes out there and thinks it's going to be too short, he can give it up and apply somewhere else.
He can.
Yeah.
Yes. He can apply to move it to another location. Any one of those nets can be
we have
moved.
A limited number of pound net locations
yes,
we allowed, so he could yield this one
yep.
and take one somewhere else.
Ready to vote?
Yes, sir.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That net is approved as described. All right. Now, Mr. Burton.
For Mr. Clifton W. Burton.
Oh, no. We're still on.
Burton has applied to commission a license located pound net in Maddox Creek, which is a tributary of the Potomac River. The proposed pound net would be located approximately 495 feet south-southwest of Maddox Creek Day Board Number 6, which is approximately right here where the pointer is on the screen. This is Maddox Creek here. Colonial Beach is off to the north, and Monroe Bay is off to the north of this location. A little closer in view of where this location is. Its proximity to the shoreline, which is within 500 feet of a few locations of these piers. This is Steps Harbor View Marina over here around the corner. We did receive public comment on this. We received 21 written protest letters on this particular pound net location. The public comments in opposition to this placement included concerns that it would be a hazard to navigation in the creek day and night, and it would impact real estate values around the creek. Staff also received comments from First Sergeant Adam Friend and Marine Police Officer Michael Sims of Virginia Marine Police, noting that the proposed pound net location is in an area that incurs a high volume of recreational boating, to include water skiers and personal watercraft from both nearby Monroe Bay and Colonial Beach, and also from across the Potomac River at Cobb Island. Just to address about real estate values, there are some comments about, and you'll notice in your public comments, which was in the evaluation packet, that some felt this net was only 100 feet from the shore. Actually, it is. The closest point that we've been able to locate is about 470 feet from the head of a pier and 524 feet from this pier over here to the southeast. So it is approximately 500 feet off of even a pier end. And just as this is a navigation guide for the area, the markers coming into the creek itself. The net location is approximately here. There is a duck blind located nearby. The navigation channel technically runs up in this vicinity through here. However, in talking with the Marine Police, they note that this whole area, which is averages about 4 to 5 feet in depth, is frequented by a lot of people with water skis, with tubes, with personal watercraft, and actually there is a Colonial Beach jet ski competition, and this is the practice area that a lot of them go to in that very same location, as was being described to me. So, haven't seen it personally, but this is what's being described to us through the Marine Police. So, in consideration of six criteria for this, tidal wetlands, water quality, submerged aquatic vegetation were not an issue. Issues were brought up through public comment about adjacent nearby properties, real estate values, which we could not confirm whether or not this would have an impact on real estate values. On marine fishery resources of the Commonwealth, impact the pound net as a fishing device. But we'll also note, as we did in the evaluation, there's other fishing devices already in here. There is the anchor gill nets do get located in Maddox Creek, as do crab pots, crab potting being one of the primary sources of harvest out of Maddox Creek. The biggest issue that we ran across was the reasonable permissible uses of state waters. This is a high recreational user area, as has been identified to us. Placing a fixed device in this location does seem to present a hazard, which would be a concern. If this is frequently used by boaters day and night, this is definitely a concern that we have to take seriously. We do not want to create a user's conflict. We have enough problem with boaters running into well-marked channel buoys. We don't need to create one where they're not in that situation. There are no other existing fixed fishing devices in Maddox Creek either. So this isn't a precedent issue. If there was, we could look on precedent, but there aren't any other fixed devices at this time. So staff is recommending the denial. I believe Mr. Burton is here to speak on his behalf, and we did have 21 protest letters, so I'm assuming we have some protesters.
All right. Mr. Burton? Just swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
Clifton Burton, Colonial Beach, Virginia. And as stated, I'm the NP-172 applicant. First off, I want to thank you all for letting me have the opportunity for you. Just a little bit of history. What prompted me to make this application is last year I began gill netting. And during that, I caught what I thought was an abundant amount of striped bass. Most of them through the net were either dead or near death by the time I got them out, put them back. And within a few days, I decided to pull the net. Sorry, the reason I threw them back, I have no rockfish allocation. So after a few days of that, like I said, I didn't want to waste the resource. So I decided to wait till January of this year, filed the application for the pound net. And I selected the location there for a number of reasons. One, it's on the outside edge of a current oyster ground lease. I wasn't aware of the 500 feet of the docks at the time, but I did pick 600 feet or greater off of shore, as I didn't want to encroach upon any of the waterfront residents. It was placed adjacent to an abandoned duck blind and also considered the commission's regulations when making the selection. While following all the criteria set by the commission, it came time for the public notice, and that's when all these issues arose. Immediately, the day had come out on the public fishing website, they began building support to oppose the license being issued, and as stated, there were 21 letters signed by 32 people opposing this. Of the 21, 15 of them were from the same street, two on the same address, and the information I found shows that the street, the opposition was sought by someone going house to house, essentially. On May 16th, I received copies of all the protests and went through and compiled a list of the objections. And the three most popular was the water sport activities, whether skiing, fishing, swimming, the navigation, bycatch, were the three top priorities. So, in preparing my rebuttal to these letters, I contacted your fisheries management office, BIMS, Atlantic States Fisheries, the Heathsville Field Office, local law enforcement officer, a legislator, and real estate offices. However, my problem was having 6 business days to prepare. I wasn't necessarily able to gather all the information I felt I needed. Basically, some key persons were being out of town on leave, meetings, or the holiday weekend. But regardless, I want to go ahead and try to address the top 3 issues. Number one priority, of course, is navigational safety. I currently do not have the marking requirements, as the 4 persons I've attempted to speak to through a commission to get the requirements have failed to provide them. But I don't have the net at this time, so that's kind of a moot point. But if it does go through, of course, I'm glad to mark it however you suggest. Some of the thoughts I come up with, I'm sure, is reflective tape and flags involved, but I'm also willing to use radar reflectors, barricade lights, like used in roadway construction areas, whatever it may be, to help make it visible at night. I ask also you note that pound nets are the most visible type of commercial fishing gear in the area, and it is well out of the marked channel. The second part addressed the fishing, swimming, jet skiing, etc. I've already considered the location and net marking, but I'll even consider a shorter net or shorter season. You know, if it's, prohibit me from summertime use or something of that sort. Something is better than nothing. Third, on the bycatch side of it, I offer to use the bycatch reduction panel, similar to what's required in the neighboring Potomac River, and hope to release the healthy fish, unlike my previous experiences. The intention is made by the way the net traps and holds, so less time out of water and less handling. My ultimate goal is I don't want to be a problem to the commission or a nuisance to any of the public. I'm just hoping this is seen as the net is not as bad as it made out to be, and I'll do whatever it takes to make it a win-win situation. It's a big investment financially, and the time to build it, I'm willing to put it in. And again, I just want to thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Is there anyone here to speak in opposition? All right, I guess the matter's before the commission. Mr. Robbins, need to, after this?
That's why it's not on Eastern Trail.
Can we place, what would be the effectiveness of putting a time of year restriction on it?
Never heard of the commission doing that before. I guess if you wanted to avoid the water skiing time of the year or something like that, you wouldn't allow it to be.
It's the poles.
You got to put poles.
And then you've got to.
Poles aren't removable normally in fixed fishing devices. They're usually driven in. That's the hazard.
From a practical standpoint, it's not.
Yeah, it's the hazard is the poles more though than the net.
Obviously, from Legion Shore, we have pretty a significant amount of exposure to pound nets. I mean, if you look at all those docks, we don't have any traffic like that.
Right.
You saw the pound nets before us just recently, and there was one pelican pub.
Right.
I can't imagine really putting a pound net there myself, just from my own experiences. I mean, just this weekend, I had a friend from Virginia Beach tell me they'd just barely not run into the one we had put out there beside the Bay Bridge Tunnel, and they couldn't believe we actually put one there. I mean, I think traffic and boat safety is a real issue, and this position here looks like we're just asking for trouble. The young man seems like he's a conscientious, very sympathetic to it, but at the same time, we have to be sympathetic to all those people who have protested and live in that area. I can't imagine approving it.
Any other comments?
Move to deny.
Second to the motion. Motion's been made and seconded. Any comments on the motion?
I would hope we would encourage him to find another location.
And that he does have that opportunity. If the motion passes to deny, he can come back with another application, I guess, for another site.
That's
it would have to be re-advertised for.
Yeah, sure.
Any other comments? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries.